Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. God is good. Not just summertime, but God is good all of the time. And all of the time, God is good. I'm happy to be alive. Amen. How about you? How about you? God gave us another one. We got this one so far this day. We're here. And we're awake. Amen. And alive. And in this place, to what purpose? Is to worship God. How? In spirit and in truth. Always good to come back home to Hollow Heights. Amen. Amen. We're working in the house, saving souls, and outside the house, amen, saving souls. So you do what you're doing here, and I'm out there roaming around, going to and fro in the world, fighting against the devil. Amen. Amen. Somebody. And that's what we're doing. We're doing a lot of great works from Hollow Heights, a lot of baptisms we've had. So that's accredited to what we decided to do here at Hollow Heights. That is not only focus on in these walls here, but outside of the walls. And we probably baptized 20, 30 this year already going to gospel meetings. So that's something accredited to our efforts and our desire and our decision to have two ministers, and one in local and one evangelist traveling. And that's my heart's desire for many years, and it has come to fruition. Mm-hmm. And for that reason, I am a very happy man. I am happy. I'm not letting nobody steal my joy, so don't bring me no kind of crazy talk. That's just the way it is, Church of Christ. You know, I let you know I'm happy. I'm happy. I'm a happy man. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. If I had my wife, I'd be happier than that.
Amen. Yeah,
that's
amen.
The only thing I'm missing. Nothing. I ain't missing nothing else. I got everything I want and most of what everything I need and most of what I want.
Amen.
Yeah. I ain't hurting for nothing.
Amen.
Thank
amen.
God for it. Thank God for life. For happiness and peace, peace of mind goes a long, long ways.
Amen.
I mean, if y'all want to go to heaven, I'm just saying, let's just say amen. Amen. I mean, lie, you're serious about it, though. I'm you serious about getting to heaven? Y'all want to go to heaven?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we had a great day yesterday out there in the parking lot. It reminded me of back in 07 down through there, and some of the guys out there with us kind of reminiscing on the things that we used to do. And some of the things that we've done here at Hollow Heights, it was such a great experience. Amen. It was a blessing for all of us to be here. And then see some of you today. I haven't seen in a long time. Good to see you.
Amen.
Good to see you. Looking forward to fellowshipping. But let's talk about why we're here. Every Sunday is a soul-saving Sunday.
Amen.
You say, why we name it that? Because we have what we call a soul-saving ministry called evangelism. And the ministry putting on this week. And we have spiritual needs ministry put on an event outside. That ministry designed to develop elders, which we need here. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
And so those elders are in development now. And the spiritual works and deacons getting ready. Amen. Preachers got to be ready. That's evangelism. That's what we're doing. Now, evangelism is not just saving people by being baptized, but evangelism is saving the lost.
That's
people
it.
Who are lost. And so that's important to know what we're doing. It's important to know it's a great commission that's been given to us by God. So now, if you're visiting with us and you're listening either via Facebook Live, we got all these other ways of getting outside the walls. I'm always aware of the fact that there are other people listening, not just in this room, but there are people on the internet, amen, somebody. And they're Facebook Live and also YouTube and conference calls, and those are designed for people who are sick and shut in, actually. So if you're at home just relaxing, you need to be coming to the building.
Amen.
Amen. Come on back. Now, we went through some things with the pandemic. We made some mistakes. We learned some things.
Amen.
But let's not forget the importance of assembly. Amen.
Amen.
So you got to say it. Got to say it. Everywhere I go, I'm seeing it. Churches are people not coming back to the building. I don't think God is pleased with that.
Amen.
So you say, I'm just tapping into that because I know people are listening out there. Now, here's those out there who are not members of the Church of Christ. I want you to know that you are my personal VIP and our VIP as a congregation because you're not a member of the Lord's church. And now, here's what we believe in the Churches of Christ, that the Bible is right. How many of y'all believe that the Bible is right?
Amen.
Every word of the Bible is right. Now, the Bible teaches us for a man or woman to be saved, they must hear the gospel. And the gospel is not just Jesus died and that's it. He didn't just die.
That's right.
Now, he suffered on the cross for six long hours. And shame on us when we don't remind the world that God so loved the world that he gave his son and that his son did no wrong. Amen. He did nothing wrong. He had no sin, no guile in his mouth. And what he left us with was a commission to go back into the world and tell them how God demonstrated his love. And God demonstrated his love to the world by sending his only child and then watching him for the last 24 hours of his life be treated as a death row inmate, cruelly crucified, murdered on a cross to save us. We were the guilty one. It wasn't him. And Amen. Shame on us when we never tell the people that what he did for us, because that is the power of God to save the world. God wants us to love him. He wants us to love him as a father and to love his son who loved us greater than anyone else. He said, greater love had no man in this that he laid down life for his friend. Do y'all know that? That's the greatest love ever demonstrated. It's a love story. The gospel story is a love story. It sounds cruel. And that you talk about how a man was beaten and how he was executed on the cross, and that sounds like brutally murdered. It is cruel. But it should take us in a state of sorrow so we understand the price that was paid to save our souls. Amen. That's why we preach the cross. That's why we ought to be cross-eyed at people. Shame on us when we don't say nothing about the cross. We ought to be cross. Somebody, how you introduce me going across the road? I tell him, Brother Brooks, brother, I got a low degree. I missed that one. It's a low degree, as I stay humble. And I'm a cross-eyed preacher.
Amen.
I understand the impact of the cross. Y'all remember when Peter was preaching on the day of Pentecost, the impact of the cross, 3,000 people were baptized.
That's right.
The impact of preaching the cross. To everybody listening, shame on us when we don't preach the cross.
Amen.
Amen. Because that's God's power. That's right. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. So to visitors, that's why he died for you. He hung on that cross to shed it. That blood will wash your sins away at baptism. And we got everything you need right here. Amen. To be baptized. You got to believe it. How many of y'all believe he suffered on that cross?
Amen.
We don't believe that because we saw it with our eyes. Romans 10:17 said, faith coming by what? Hearing by the word of God. Our belief that he was there is in this book. Amen. Not only did that blood, according to Revelation 1:5, wash away man's sins, which we all have committed, and we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But Jesus said, go preach to them, tell them the gospel, preach the gospel, preach the cross, preach the death, burial, and resurrection. If he believe it, if she believe it, baptize her. That's Jesus' command. Now, if you have not been baptized, you're in trouble. You need to be baptized today. Don't leave like this. Don't leave without becoming a member of the Lord's church. That's the second thing. He purchased the church. That's but one church in the Bible. He said, well, Brother Brooks, I didn't know that means. There was a time when I was sitting where you are. That's why you my VIP. Nobody told us. There's but one church in the Bible. And in that church, they sing.
Yes.
They didn't have choirs and guitars and get fillers. They sing. Everybody sing. The whole congregation, that's what you worship. That's what you witnessed this morning. New Testament, we call pattern of worship. How did they do? They sing. What did they do, church? They sing. They didn't play instruments. They sing. So what about David? Well, David was no Christian.
Amen.
Old Testament. Well, there were no Christians in the Old Testament. They could not be no Christian after Jesus died. There was not a Christian in the Old Testament. You can't even use that Old Testament pattern. Because it's not a pattern for Christianity. Christ started the new way, a new life, a new day, a new worship, amen, where you sing, you pray, you give. We don't tithe, amen. We take a collection. We got to make an offering, amen, somebody. And then we preach from the word of God, and then we're going to take the Lord's Supper every Sunday. You say, what? Every Sunday. If you're not drinking this blood, every Sunday you won't go to heaven. You say, well, I didn't know that. Now you do. Now you do. Now you can't say you didn't know. What I try to do, this is what I really try to do in my preaching, is to take all of your excuses away up front. Now, I didn't know how to be baptized. I just told you that. I didn't know one church. I just told you that. I didn't know you should take the Lord's Supper every Sunday. I just told you that. Can I support it scripturally? Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Here's why I do know. I can't add to this book or take from it. Why? Because I'm going to have a problem with God myself. He said, if any man add unto the words of the prophets of this book, God would add unto the plagues that are written in this book. If any man take away from the words of the prophets of this book, God would take his part out of the book of life. That applies to me. So I don't want to have no issues on judgment. I got enough issues in this life.
Amen.
Amen. How many of y'all got some issues in this life?
Amen.
Yeah, I don't need no issues of judgment. Amen. I want to hear him say, well done, that good and that faithful service. So I do all this up front. I tell people up front what to do to say in case I don't make it through the end of the sermon.
Amen.
I might not make it, but you didn't know you had to be baptized. You know the one church. What church is it? Church of Christ. Only one in there. Only one in the Bible. That's it. The church was Christ's wife. Every wife in here wears a husband's name. Everybody understand that, don't they? This is not something you got to be real smart to know. Just believe. You got to believe it, though. Amen?
Amen.
So I'm just getting warmed up. How did I do so far?
Yeah, man.
Yeah, just getting warmed up here. Now I thought with this sermon here, the Son of Man is come to save that which is lost. Now, I know, you know, I really believe this. I want you to think about it. And we talked about Wednesday, and I don't know how many of you are on the Bible cloud. Nathan went to David, and God sent him, right? Philip went to the eunuch. Peter went to Cornelius. I believe in the providence of God. What are you saying, brother? I'm saying that I'm here for somebody. I don't know you, possibly. I don't know your situation. I do not know your condition. I do not know what's going on in your mind. But I believe that God provides for someone when they're in need. Amen. And the word of God will never come back void. No doubt all of us should get something out of the message. Mm-hmm. But there are some people that are deeper in a deeper situation than others. Mm-hmm. Critical situation. Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. You're dangerously close to losing your soul. Mm-hmm. And what I don't want you to do is lose it because you wasn't properly taught. Mm-hmm. Or that someone got up here and did theatrics and showed out in the pulpit to make you feel good. No, I'm trying to come into your mind and let you know you're not here just by accident. Not here just because you want to see a show or you want to get your worship on or to get your praise on, to clap your hands and wave your hand and say you got God and leave and do what you've been doing. That's not a game that we should play.
Right.
So what are you saying, brother? I'm saying I believe that you're here because, and I'm here and we're here for the reason, for God's reason. God, whatever reason God is, got me here to talk to you, or is it for me? We don't know. Mm-hmm. But there is a purpose for the Son of Man coming. From Matthew 18:11, he said the Son of Man has come to save that which is lost.
Right.
Now, brother Susan said, let me just make sure that Brother Strauss said, saving people is not just baptizing folk.
That's right.
Yeah, we got to baptize. That's the beginning of salvation. But you got to live right to stay saved.
Mm-hmm.
No such thing as once you're saved, you're always saved. That's what the world teaches. That's not what the Bible teaches.
Right.
And we're going to talk about that this afternoon if a brother be overtaken in a fault. Many are overtaken. They're so deep in sin, they don't know how to get out. We got to help them. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's this afternoon. But then I wanted to go this angle this morning because we live in a time of great turmoil. We live in a time of unrest in the world.
Right.
Y'all will agree with that?
Mm-hmm.
You see, man, we got situations that we haven't seen before. I mean, we never seen the pandemic like we saw. We had never, in our time, experienced anything like that many people dying on the TV. Where you saw the numbers just flashing in front of people been dying. Mm-hmm. But God set us all down and said, watch what death would do. We went through that. Now we're looking at wars. Amen. Mm-hmm. You know, Ukraine and Russia.
Yep.
And we're looking at the tragedy of people dying innocently. Now we got Israel, Hamas, people dying. What's going on? Every time we look at the TV, people are dying. That's my point. People are dying. And our human heart, it tugs at us. Like, man, what is going on in this world? What are we going to do? This thing don't seem to be getting no better. Do y'all not understand that it's not going to get any better? This is something we got to deal with. We have hope, though. We have hope as Christians. There is no hope for the man outside of Christ. There is no hope for you. And so when you look at these situations, then you got all kinds of things going on and credited to mental health, and that's probably some of it. But it's sin, really. When people kill people, it's sin. It doesn't matter what color they are, what nationality they are, what country they're in, whether it's over there or over here, whether it's in Maine or in Houston. The problem is S-I-N.
It still is.
If we make more Christians, we'll have a better world.
Yes, that's right.
Amen. Somebody. Now, I'm telling the truth here. I know I'm telling the truth. You got all this stuff going on, and you look at the TV. You know, sometimes you just want to turn it off. Like, it's too much. It's too much. I turn on this morning right here, and here's some people dead already. Last night, they were living dead now. Some crazy stuff.
Yeah.
And so it's time out to play in church. I think all of us have to get a point in our life where this is not, we don't come here because we come in to socially gather with everyone. Those are my friends. Yeah, yeah. We're close. We should be family, true enough. But why are we truly here? The truth is that we are here because we're going to die. Well, I don't want to talk about that. I know you don't. That's why you're in your situation. Now, people are dying for all kind of reasons. Now, just give you a personal note. Just on this week, I got a call from one of the congregations I've been attending, and the mother of the daughter called me and said, Brother, can you talk to my daughter? Will you please talk to her? I said, what happened? She's had a tragic accident. What's going on? Well, what happened, she said, the girl was leaving Bible class. Yeah, they was going their way home on a Wednesday night, Bible class. And there was a man on a motorcycle. Going, you know how the motorcycle go in and out of the car? It just looked like it's suicide to me, which it's turned out to be. I look at them, I seen some the other day on coming into Houston. I said, there they go, them suicide bullets. A bomb or something. That's what it looked like to me, right? In and out of the freeway. But this, so you know how they dart in and out and go back in like that? Well, he darted out and she came. He didn't see her. The man hit her windshield. She witnessed it. The girl went over the top of her car. And she had to get out of the car and step over the body and watch the man gurgle. He was taking his last breath. Now she's traumatized. And she blamed herself. So the only thing I can say, listen, do you believe the Bible? Yes. It's appointed unto man once to die. Yes. We make no decisions on death. Right. That was God's decision. Amen. Now, sometimes, young people, you can go before your time. Right. When you act crazy and foolish, mm-hmm. you can cut your life short. Okay. But it wasn't her fault. But did she witness tragedy? Yes. Is she traumatized? Yes. Will she have to live with it? Absolutely. What does she have that others don't have? A peace from God. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That was one day last week. I was preaching like I am today in Lufkin, Texas, Oak Quinn. And I preached that morning the messenger of Satan. So Satan never brings good news. There's no message from Satan that will ever be good. Listen carefully. For many people say, when they learn, Paul said, I have a thorn in the flesh for this thing I besought the Lord three times. He said, the thorn in the flesh, watch what he says now. The messenger of Satan to buffet me. So I say, y'all don't know what the thorn was. Well, it's right there in the verse. He says, the messenger of Satan to buffet him. And I had gone to Job to show how all the messages came to Job because Satan was turned loose on Job's life. And Job lost everything in one day, his children, all that. And every messenger came with a different message. It wasn't a message from God. It was a messenger of Satan. He delivered all the bad news. Now, listen, you can live like you want to live. But the Satan has no good news. So what that got to do with it? Well, I preached that sermon Sunday morning. That young man was sitting on the front pew. He did a communion that evening, 56, 57 years old, 56. It's communion that morning. Got a call that afternoon, he was dead. Now, see, which makes me think back, but I don't have to think hard. Did I preach the sermon that would save him? Because the Drape Church has hit me in my face. For those of you who know me, right? Y'all know the Drape Church scenario? Hey, amen. Well, if you don't, I'll give it to you. Act like you don't know it. So some people never heard it. There was a young man going to preach at a prison. And so he got there, and the warden, he's showing him the auditorium, everybody going to be sitting there. And he asked him any questions. He said, yeah, I see over there. There's like four Drape chairs got black drape curtains on them. They draped in black. He said, what's that all about? He said, well, those men, they're going to die afterward. They're going to get executed. Those are death row inmates. And the young preacher said, oh, man, I'm going to think about what I'm going to say now. I got to change something. He was thinking he needed to change his message. But you know what? Every one of you all is in that seat. right as I speak. And that young man was in that draped chair that morning when I preached at 9 o'clock at Old Quinn. And he went to his life ended that afternoon at his house. Now, what message did I leave with him? And what message am I going to leave with you? And what are you going to leave with? What if this is your last sermon? Will you leave like you came? Have I already changed something in your life? Have I already paradigm shift? Have I already got you thinking differently than you came in with? I said, Brother Burke, you're going to spoil my fellowship. No, I shouldn't spoil your fellowship. It should raise your urgency to get ready for God.
Amen.
So that young man died. Isn't that something? I was in Midland, Texas. At a lectureship. Preacher got up and preached that night, 8 o'clock. 3:30 in the morning, he was dead. Shook up the whole lectureship, all the preachers. When I preached that Wednesday night, everybody responded. 50-plus people coming to the front. What? Death changes our perspective.
Right.
Death gets our attention.
Yes, it does.
Somebody in here is next. If I take the portrait, your face is in it. But the question all of us have to ask, who in the portrait would God say now? It's time for us to be serious about saving people. That's what this is about. This is about saving souls. Look at the world. People are dying. It's not how they died. That's the issue. It's not about the war, about hatred, about the shootings. It's not the gun and all that. It's not the problem is people are dying whether they get shot, whether they get hit by a car, or whether they die in their sleep. They died. That's the issue. Mm-hmm. Now, if I had a choice how to die, I'd rather be asleep just go and get out of here. Don't know nothing about it, right? If you just choose your way, but we don't get to choose it. But what we have a choice about is how we die. What if you got a terminal illness right now? You only got a few months to live. What would you want me to tell you? It should be, what must I do to be saved? That's what you should be asking the question now. So I ask this question like this. What about you? I mean, why are you here? I mean, the tragedy. Why are you in this audience this morning? What's going on with your life, your situation? Where are you at? Why are you in a church building? Why are you listening to a man preach from the Bible? What's the relevance of it for you, for your life? That's where we're at, right? Y'all see where I'm at this morning?
Mm-hmm.
And so when we look at the reality of turmoil in this world, and some may question this. Go to Matthew 24. We may question this. What are we nearing the end of the world? What's going on with the world that we're living in? Well, here's the thing. In Matthew chapter 24 and verse number 6, let's start at verse 3 here, my reader. He said, everybody turn. We're going to be there just for a minute. He said,
As I sat up on the Mount of Olives,
the disciples came to him privately, saying,
Tell us. When shall these things be?
Now he's going to ask questions. When shall these things, what you want to know? I'm not going to deal with all this, but I want to get to this point. He said, tell us when shall these things be?
And what shall be the sign of thy coming?
Now here's what he said. I want to know, what shall be the sign of you? They talking to Jesus. When you come, how are we going to know you coming?
And of the end of the world.
How are we going to know that's the end of the world? So this is what he said. He said,
Jesus answered unto them, Take heed that no man deceive
you. Don't let nobody deceive you.
For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and deceive many.
Yeah, right.
And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. Now, watch what he said.
You're going to hear wars and rumors of wars.
See that ye be not troubled.
Don't be troubled by that. He was talking to his disciples in that time. They were going to see some things. That's gone. That doesn't happen. But we are seeing it, right? When I was growing up, I know they were talking to all mama and others who really was educated on the Bible. They would say, well, these are signs of the end of time. This is not a sign of the end of time. Wars are not a sign of the end of time. Got it?
Mm-hmm.
No, wars are not a sign of the end of time. And then over there, they said, well, And then he said, watch what he says. He said,
for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet.
See, he said, it's not the end. He just came out and said, that's not the end of it. These things will happen. And it did happen for Jerusalem. It did happen for the disciples. Now, let's keep reading.
For nation shall rise against nation.
That's what we're saying. Nations against nations.
And kingdom against kingdom.
Against kingdoms.
And there shall be famines.
Famines.
And pestilences.
Pestilences.
And earthquakes.
Earthquakes.
In divers places.
And what?
In divers places.
Okay, all this stuff that happened all over me. It's a climate change. All this, everybody said that's the end of the world. Let me know. That's not what the Bible says.
All these.
Some of this stuff we're seeing is nothing new. Mm-hmm. It's been happening. Earthquakes been happening.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. What we're talking about now is God. Who's in control of everything? God is in control. If an earthquake come through, it can't come through without God. A tornado can't come through without God saying so. Hurricanes can't come through unless God say it.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now look. Now, what I want to drop down to verse 29 for the sake of time. Drop down to verse 29. Everybody follow me on this one.
Immediately after the tribulation of those days,
yeah,
shall the sun be darkened and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken.
Powerful event here. Watch what he said.
And then shall appear the sign.
Watch this. Now, underline this one. He said, and then shall be what?
Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven.
Then shall appear what?
The sign.
The sign. One time. Then shall appear
the sign.
Mm-hmm. Everybody say the sign.
The sign.
It's one sign. War is not a sign. Pandemic wasn't a sign. That's not a sign. Those things been happening. He said, but then shall appear the sign.
Of the Son of Man in
heaven.
Now,
that's why I get Son of Man. The Son of Man is Jesus.
That's right.
He said, then shall be the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribe that mourn, and they shall see.
The Son of Man.
They're going to see. Say it.
See.
See. You're going to see him. When you see the Son of Man, that's when it's the end of the world. Now you say, well, Brother Brooke, who know this? Drop down, just for 16. Drop down to verse 36. Okay. But of that day and hour. Now Jesus came back out and said, now, they asked him about what, the end of the word. He said, now he come back and said, now, of that day
and hour.
Of that hour, at the moment that Jesus is going, the day and the hour he's going to appear.
No man.
The day and the hour of the end of the world. No man.
No, not the angels of heaven.
The angels can't tell you. You call up the angels. They don't know.
But my Father only.
Jesus said, the only one going to make that decision will be the Father of Jesus.
That's it.
So what are we saying this morning? Listen here. Jesus is telling us that you might well get ready. This stuff that's going on in the world, been going on, it's going to keep going on. But when God the Father say, if time is up, then you're going to see the Son of Man in the sky. That's your sign. That's the sign of the end of time. So don't worry about people trying to tell you about that. They all say, I hear them on TV, tell me this is signs of the end. That's not what the Bible teaches here. Jesus, go to John 16:33. As I hasten to conclude, I'm trying to get your mind where I need you. He said, these things, in John 16:33, these things have I spoken unto you.
These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace.
Now here's where I want to go. Now he said, Jesus said, in me, you might have peace.
In the world,
you shall have tribulation. He just came out and told you, we're going to have tribulation in this world. But be of good cheer.
I have overcome the world.
I give you something that the world can't give you. No. I overcame it. Now look at John 14:27. John 14:27.
Peace I leave
now,
with you.
Now, here's what I want. Peace I leave with you, he said.
My peace I give
now,
unto you.
Now, he said, Jesus, the Son of Man says, peace, I came to save the lost. Save us from trials? No. Save us from suffering? No. Save us from some sorrows? No. Save us from witnesses' death? No. Save us from mourning? No. Didn't come to do that. I came to save the lost. Y'all got it?
Mm-hmm.
So then he says, now, what I give, my peace I give unto you,
not as the world giveth, give I unto you.
Uh-huh.
Let not your heart be troubled.
If we are troubled by everything going on in this world, See, you don't have the peace of God. But when you are saved and you're not lost, you've been baptized, you'll have a peace. When you get baptized, you'll have a peace that I'm okay with the Lord. And when you're okay with the Lord, then you have peace with God. If you come back, you know you've been gone too long. You know you haven't been worshiping the Spirit and the truth. You know you're not doing what's right in the sight of God. You know you're shacking. You're living together, not married. You know you're alcoholic. You know you're drinking. You know what you're doing. And you're a member of the church. You say, Robert, what you trying to? You're going to die. You are not at peace. That's the message. The Son of Man came to save the lost. From suffering? No. From worrying about dying in your sin. You can have peace. You'll never live perfectly. But if you get baptized, you'll have a peace. That you obey God. You have a chance. A person who ain't never been baptized, you can't have no peace on your deathbed. You're going to roll and tumble. You're going to wonder. You're going to question. Because you don't know the hereafter. For those of us who are believers, we believe in the hereafter. Yeah. We don't believe you're just like old Rover, you're just dead all over. Right. We believe that's a consequence of not. It's a consequence, you all. Don't you understand why some of us who are members of the church, we know when we're in a dangerous situation, we're not at peace with each other, with God. We know our minds are not at peace with God. But Jesus, the Son of Man, came to give you the peace. And when you get peace with God, you get peace from God. When you get peace from God, you get the peace of, O-F, God. That peace that belongs to God don't come from the world.
That's right.
It's not a war thing. It's a peace with you in a relationship with God.
That's right.
He said, Robert, what are you saying? I'm talking about the Son of Man. I'm talking about why he came. I'm talking about why he came. To give you peace. Now, you know you're not at peace. When I give this invitation, whether you're on the conference call or out there listening, I've been tapping into your conscience since I've been preaching. You got to tap into my conscience. I have to think the same way. Just like you do. This shoe fits everyone. We all better be thinking. Amen. Man, what is our condition as we stand today? What if you that 56-year-old man this afternoon? What is your state? Well, I know I'm not right. I understand. That's the purpose of the message, is to make you think about that.
That's right.
Amen. What did the Son of Man came to say? Who is it? Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. He came to seek and save the lost, to give them peace from God, peace of God. Now watch this now. They pass understanding. You say, man, how are we going to go through this world living like this? We're going to be worried about everything going on around us. When the bomb going to hit? When I'm going to get killed by a car? When I'm going to die? Or well, is it going to be COVID? Or what is it going to be? Is it going to be a heart attack? What, are you worried about how you're going to die? Or are you worried about the state you're in when you die? So the reason I'm a Christian, because I feel like being a Christian, I got a better chance than anybody. Not that I'm perfect, but I'm going to drink this blood every Sunday. If you ain't start drinking the blood every Sunday, that'd be your main reason to get baptized this morning. You need to drink the blood. What is the blood? It's the blood of Jesus. Right. Whose blood is it? It's the blood of the New Testament. What is it for? For the remission of sin. For the forgiveness of sin. Because none of us can live perfect.
Right.
I'm going to try to suck the bottom out of the cup every Sunday. I draw it in where you hear it crackling. Blah, blah, blah. You know how when you drink that cup. You know how them little plastic cups. You know, I don't want to leave nothing. Jesus said, drink ye all of it. Amen. Well, see, I make y'all laugh a little bit because I got some of y'all shook up. I learned that in my preaching. You got to shake them up and then let them laugh at you. They be all right. Shook him up, shook him up, shook him up, shook him up. So he got here. He whoremonger, running around, got every woman he can get in the church. Got every woman he can get out there. Got his trophies hanging up on the wall. Conscience ain't bothering him. People living, doing things they want to do, whatever they don't. See, what we're not thinking about is that this thing, that trait, they drape chair can happen anytime. Amen. Am I right about it?
Right.
People in and out of church.
in and out of church building on Sundays. Come lost, leave lost. Huh? Will that be your condition today? Will you come lost and leave lost? Huh? Or there's come a time in your life where you say, well, it's time for me to straighten it up. It's time for me to try to get some things. There's some things you can do. You don't have to pray about it. So I need to pray about getting. No, something you just stop. You don't pray about it. Just stop. Amen. Somebody ought to say amen. I said something good. I need to pray about this. If I need to stop this sin. No, you don't. You got to make a decision to stop the sin. Let me just come into y'all live just a little bit as I close here. I was just thinking about this. Maybe some. I'm trying to think about who am I here for? Who is it for? Who is it for? Who need this message? That the Son of Man came to save you. Is it somebody that's weak right now? You weak. You know, Brother Brooks talking about you, don't you? Matter of fact, you think about it. Why he trying to call me out? I know that's what you're doing. Some of y'all know, some of y'all don't know. But that's what happens when your conscience, or when I tap that conscience. I don't like him. He always preaching at people from the pulpit. No, that's your conscience bothering you.
That's right.
Because if what I said wasn't true, it wouldn't bother you.
That's right.
Maybe you deep in sin. Maybe your situation is you just too weak right now. And the Son of Man can't give you something. You can't be at peace. Let not your heart be troubled. You don't have to be troubled. You're at the verge of giving up. How many of you, somebody here that I'm talking to that's tired of overdose stops, and you stop and you start. You stop and you start. You have nowhere else to turn. You're depressed. You're stressed. Why? Have you tried the Son of Man?
Amen.
What are you offering, Brother Brooke, the Son of Man? Do you know your life is headed down a dead-end street? Could you make that assessment of your life? Am I headed down a dead end street currently? Well, what about you? Are you addicted to drugs? Mm. Are you crippled by the fact that this crack or this meth or whatever it is got you entangled? Mm. What is it? Is it alcohol? What is it? What's the thing that you know that I'm talking about, that you're here and you got to get this thing right? Are you crippled by some type of a sexual addiction?
Hmm.
It means quiet in here. Now, because we're human beings. See, everybody got a mirror, y'all. You said, Brother Bruce got a mirror. I have to look in this mirror. You got to be honest when you look in there. You got to look at you. Are you in some type of deep sexual sin? Maybe homosexuality, adultery, or fornication. They're all sin. Yeah. All sin is wrong. All sin is would cause you to go to hell. All sin, even lying. But there is a thing called willful,
continuous
sin. Where we have to be concerned. Shall we continue in sin that God, that grace may abound? God forbid. No, that's not a, see, when you're trying to live the Christian life through, it's not that you're willfully continuing, it's that your things are, that flesh is weak. You got all kind of stuff going. Sex is homosexual. I can spend some time on that, but they're no different from the drunk. I mean, you don't have to feel bad that you say I'm gay and I'm coming out the closet. Well, you're no different from the alcohol. He already out the closet. It's just sin. Sin is the issue. Not whether you're in the closet in sin or out of the closet in sin. Sin is the sin, right?
Amen.
And then they say, well, who else? Let's see, who else? Everybody says, nobody know about this. Nobody know about your. Nobody know about your sin. No, you and God. You and God only two know. So you know, with that being said, there's not going to be no peace. What did the Son of Man come to do? Save the lost. To give us that peace we need. I'm closing. What about somebody who, at some point, and you hear people, and I'm about to tell you, I know it's time for me to get my life together. It's time for me. What you're saying is I don't have the relationship I want with God yet. Is there anybody in here this morning it's time to get yourself together? Is that why you came? Is that why you came? To get yourself, that's good. So
So you, what you do, you are realizing that you have no relationship with God and you need a relationship with God. You are crippled by the fact that you have no peace with God. You're going to be turmoil. Your heart will be troubled. You know God and you know God without God in your life, trouble is going to continue.
Yeah.
I mean, how many of you can get down and pray? He said, brother, here's what we got to understand. Is that everybody can't pray to God. John 9:31. The Bible said, this we know God here, not who? Sinners. Isaiah 59:1-2 says, behold, the Lord's hand not shortened, that he cannot save, neither is your heaven, that he cannot hear. It's not that he can't hear us, but your iniquities, your desire to do things your way and not God's way, have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you. Watch it now, that he will not. Here. There you go, you say. So what you say, what are you saying, brother? Is it your life? Is it your mind? Is the fact that life is vanishing in front of you? Mm-hmm. What is the deal? I come down here so I can stop. So am I serious? Yeah. Is my posture serious? Sure. Should I be? Absolutely. Why? Because I'm the Philip and somebody's a eunuch here.
Amen.
And God didn't send Philip to the eunuch, not tell him what he needed to do. But the eunuch, when Philip told him, he just said, how can I accept some man what?
Guidance.
Mm-hmm. When you're ready to get right with God, you need guidance. Here's what you need to do this morning. How many of us want to go to heaven?
Amen.
Here's why I want y'all to know this. The Son of Man came to give us that hope.
That's right.
Of eternal life.
Right.
And so what now you say, what happened though? What happened? How did that all occur? But John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave who?
His only begotten Son.
That whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have it. You should not shall not. You should not perish after a message like this. You should not perish. But have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into this world to condemn him, but he sent him to be saved. He didn't send Jesus to condemn the world, that the world through him might be saved. That's what he wanted. So if you're here today, understand, when Jesus came, the significance of his coming was this. He lived without no sin. Amen. Though he was a son, he learned obedience. He done the will of God, his Father. And he asked him, let the cup pass 3 times. But he had to go to the cross. And that's the song we sung this morning. At the cross, huh? Where he first saw the light.
Yeah.
It was on a hill far away, stood an old rugged cross, an emblem of suffering and shame on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
But prior to the cross, he would cry in the garden. Prior to the cross, the Son of Man would be betrayed by Judas. The Son of Man will be denied by his own disciple, Peter, denied him 3 times. The Son of Man stood before Pilate, Caiaphas, Sanhedrin court, 6 trials a night. The Son of Man. The Son of Man did no wrong. The Son of Man stood before Pilate, and Pilate asked the people. He said, I found no fault with the Son of Man. He said, I found no fault with him. Why, he had no fault. We got the fault.
Amen.
Not the Son of Man.
Right.
He said, I have no fault. With him. They said, what you want to release Barabbas of the Son of Man? They said, crucify. Crucify him. Kill him. And then so they did. They whipped him. Pilate then commenced to whipping him with a scourging. Whipping him, stripping him naked. Whipping him with a whip. Called scourging. America never seen a scourging. You strip him naked, tie him to a pole, hit him with a whip with bones, a metal fragment on it, and the bone sticks into his body and rips the flesh from his bone, and blood comes out of them stripes. That's why he said, by his stripes are we healed. It was the blood. Don't y'all know the blood? It was at the cross where the blood was shed. Then he took him to the cross. They nailed him. Hands and arms and feet. Didn't he not nail him, y'all? Mm-hmm. Did he nail him on the cross? Yes. Did we see that? No. Did we read about it? Yes. Then with him there, being on the cross, you know, he looked out at the people who killed him. He said, Father, what?
Forgive him.
The Son of Man came so we can be forgiven. How many of y'all want forgiveness?
Amen.
How many of you ever experienced forgiveness?
Mm.
I remember DJ, I see here. Remember DJ Mitchell, first thing, he said he couldn't wait till I finished preaching. And when we come up out of that water, get baptized, I feel like you feel light, don't you?
Yes.
Because all your sins have been washed away. Everything you ever done is clean. Your conscience is clear. But here's what you got to believe, that Jesus hung on that cross for that purpose. You got to believe the Son of Man, when he was on the cross, he suffered to save you, to give you this hope. You got to believe that when they hit him in the side, that spirit came, blood and water. Two things you'll save a soul, blood and water. Blood and water in baptism. Revelation 1:5, that blood washed away the sin. And you got to contact the blood. Jesus said, except man be born of the water of the Spirit, cannot enter or see the kingdom. Not going to even let you see it. Not going to let you see it. How many of y'all believe he suffered for us?
Man.
Y'all believe? How many of y'all love him for staying on the cross?
Amen.
Do you love him?
Amen.
How many here are members of the church? How many of y'all are ready to get be stronger?
Amen.
How many of you are ready to do more for the cause of Christ?
Amen.
Amen. How many of you are ready to say, you know, the Son of Man, because of the Son of Man, I'm going to maintain a lifestyle that'll keep me at peace with God. Oh, you perfect, brother, now, but I can ask for forgiveness. I'm drinking the blood. I'm in worship every Sunday. I got something the world needs. What I got is the blood. Amen. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in him this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Would you come to Jesus this morning? Why don't you come to the Son of Man? How do you do that, brother? Number one, by hearing. Did y'all hear it? Everybody hear me preach the gospel this morning? Yeah, did I put him on the cross? Absolutely. Did I tell you about the blood? Yes. What are you saying, brother? He calls you to peace. He said, come to me. Come unto me. Oh, you the labor, the heavy laden, I'll give you rest. There's that peace. He's calling this morning through the gospel message. He's saying, come, come, come.
Yeah.
Come to me. If you'll come this morning, who should come? Those who've heard it. Number two, those who believed it. Number three, those who say, I'm ready, Brother Brooks. This is my day. Amen. This is my day right here. I remember March 31st, 1985, at Fifth Ward Church Choir, I was sitting here with my day. And when he preached that call, I got up and walked. I didn't ask my wife if she wanted to go with me. I left her on the pew. One time she got left behind. I left her because that was my day. Anybody here, this your day?
Amen.
This your day. Your day.
Right.
To get it right with God.
That's right.
Yeah, who's that, brother? Are you willing to make the confession you believe Jesus Christ, Son of God? You got to do that in front of people. Jesus said that. The Son of Man said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. Deny me?
I'm
going to deny you. So you got to make confession. Anybody over here ready to make that confession? Then after you got to be baptized, you say, what? That, because Jesus commanded. He said, go in the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. You got to be baptized this morning.
Amen.
Not next week, not 2 weeks from now. Now, today, the day you hear his voice, what? Harden not your heart. Today is the day of salvation.
Right.
Who is this message for this morning? Who's in the draped chair? Who, if I could go back and talk to that young man last Sunday, I would have told him, you in the draped chair.
Right.
Did you confess? I would have went and said, did you get your life together? Are you going down this evening?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have the privilege or the knowledge, but he had the ears, and I had the message.
Amen.
You got the ear? I gave the message. If many men hear these words of mine and doeth them, Jesus said, I liken unto him as the wise man. But if any man hear these words of mine and doeth them not, I liken him as a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the wind blew, and that house fell. He said, great.
The great
fall of the house is when you die in your sin. That's a good sermon. That's a good sermon. I like that sermon myself. What I want to do, I want to close like this. I want everybody to think about your life. Think about your life. Here's what I want to do. We got a song of encouragement.
Are you washed in the blood?
Oh, yeah. You're going to go with all you washed. Here's what I want you to do. If you're here and you're a member of the Church of Christ, and this is your day to get your life together and get back in here and let's go to work, help Brother Stroud get in these ministries. If you're a man in your home, you want to be a better husband or a better leader in the church, I want you to come stand down here with me. It's time for you to step up.
Yes, sir.
Be the man you want to be for your mom, your wife, and your children.
Amen.
I'm calling on those men that's ready to say that, you know what, the Son of Man, I'm going to step up, Brother Brooks, because I may be in the drape. Yeah, you should. What about a mother, a wife? You need to come. Your life ain't where it needs to be. Your children know it. Everybody know it. When you gonna do it? Mama! If I knew my mama was gonna go down, I want to say, Mama, why would you leave today? If it was my son, I would say, son, why? Why would you leave without being baptized? Why would you leave without getting your life together? Why would you leave, daughter?
That's right.
Why would you leave? This is your chance. It's golden. It's an opportunity.
That's right.
It's a message you never heard. And God put you on the pew so you could hear for a reason. And it may be that you're in the draped chair. So what are you going to do, brother? Well, I know. We get ready to sing him today. What I want to do, if you brought a visitor and you ask them next to you, when you stand up, if they want to come, you walk with members of the church, you walk with your visitor down here so we can baptize them this morning. I want you, if you're a member of the Church of Christ and you want strength, I want you to come down. Don't stand where you are. You come down to the front. I want you to ask God to forgive you. We're going to pray for you. We want to restore you.
That's right.
And we want you to come back and you say, this was my day that God marked for me to hear this message. And I want you to come down here with me and we're going to pray with you. The first person I'm going to ask prayer for is me. How about that?
Amen.
I have prayer. Can y'all pray for me as I work through this thing? We're working through what we're doing. What we're doing is trying to do everything we can to save the lost. Who? Why? The Son of Man came to seek and save that which is lost. That's our effort. Is that right, y'all? Can y'all pray for your traveling evangelist?
Yeah.
Please do. I just asked for it. Nobody else asked for prayer. I just did to be a better father.
Amen.
I want y'all to pray for my son. He's in trouble. Pray for my children.
Amen.
Now I got prayer requests that I'm making publicly.
Amen.
Is there somebody like me?
Amen.
That you got a child in trouble that you need somebody to pray
there
for. And we sung a song yesterday. Somebody pray for me. My mama prayed for me.
Yeah.
Thank God she knew she had me on her mind. And she took a little time to pray for me. My preacher prayed for me. He had me on his mind. Thank God he took a little time. Somebody prayed for me.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody prayed for you this morning. We got you on our mind. We want you to pray. Who should come? Those who are going to get baptized. Those who need prayer. Just prayer. Not that you've done anything wrong, but you've got a situation that God said, I can get you through because I answer the prayers of the righteous. And then there are those who need to restore. You need to say, brother, sister, I have sinned and I am sorry. I'm coming home. This is what that's the message. What we want you to do? Soon as you stand now, remember, I'm prayer request number one. Who's prayer request number two? Would you come as a gal? We stand and sing baptism, restoration, and our prayer request. Come together, we stand and sing the song.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing?
Come to him this morning. Come to him this morning. Let him in your life.
Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Would you come this morning? Would you come this morning? Come to him. Let the Lord in your life.
His grace.
Let him in your life. Let him in. Let him in. Let him in your life.
Are you washed in the blood?
Who would it be? Who would it be? Who would it be? Come on to God. Come to him. Come to God. Come to God. Come to God.
In the blood.
Come on to him. Come to him. God bless you. God bless you. Come.
Hey, come.
Whatever you do, don't put this day off. Come to the Lord this morning. Let him in your life. Let him in your life.
Spotless are they white.
Yes, no.
Yes, no.
Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Would you come this morning? Who would it be? Who would it be? Would you come to him?
Are you walking
daily by the Savior's side? God bless you. Come to know.
Are you washed in the blood?
God bless you as you come. Don't put it off. Don't put this off now.
You
that person.
Each moment in the cruise.
Would you come this morning? Give me some power
are
on this mic.
You washed in the
would you come this morning?
The land.
Give me some power. There you are. Are you? I want to appeal with you. Think now. We've had some come. I'm high. You don't need no prayer? Is it time for you to get it? To get your life together? Who would it be? There's somebody over here. Are you real close to coming? But you just can't do it. Why would you not? Why would you not come this morning? Let him in your life. We've had those come already. Wouldn't you come this morning? Anybody over here need to come? If tell the person next to you, walk with you. So if you're afraid, tell them to walk with you. You can come to the Lord. Come for prayer. Come for forgiveness. Come for forgiveness. You need forgiveness. Sometimes you can have peace. You can have peace. Come on. Come on. Come so you can have your peace. God bless you as you come. It's always someone. It's someone else. Somebody's father. Some daddy need to come. God bless you. Come on. Come on. Come on. Some father. Some father. Somebody's child. Somebody's father that need to come to save your children. God bless you. Come on around. Come on now. Come. Some man. Some husband. They need to be a better husband. Come on. Come on to God. Now's your day. This is your day. This is your day. When you come. Maybe there's a mother, there's a mother, there's a mother. What about that mama? Mama, where you at, mama? When you come, the children want you to be saved. Don't you want to come, mom? Mama, a better wife, a better mother. When you come, brother, I'm pleading with you. Jesus is calling. Come to me. God bless you. Come another one. God bless you. They're coming. They're coming. People coming to the Lord. That's what we want. That we want. People coming to the Lord. Come for prayer. Come for forgiveness. Come for a new beginning, a new start. That you can be okay with the Lord. Come to the Lord this morning. Jesus is calling. He's calling. He's calling. He's calling. He's calling. Come on. One more last appeal right here. One last appeal before we close. This song. How many of y'all believe God is a God of second chances? I do too. Now, but I don't believe that no more. You say, what happened, bro? I changed that way I think about that. God is a God of so many chances, you don't put a number on it. And I'm going to tell you something. This might be the last chance he give me or you.
Amen.
Y'all ever thought about that? What if this God is saying, time and chance belong to me? I gave you the time, and this is the last chance. So we have several come already. It's already a success. God's word never come back void. And some of you, you're such a turmoil in your mind right now. You know you're going to either obey God or the devil as you stand there. That you're obeying one of the two. You can't have two servants. You can't serve either one. You got two servants. One of them, you're saying no to God and yes to the devil. Or you're saying yes to God and no to the devil. You can't be in the middle. Well, what do we do about this, brother? We'll give you another chance. What are you saying? I'll give you another song of the chance. Another verse of the chance. Will y'all agree with that?
Amen.
What we're going to do? We're going to do one more verse. This verse is your chance. If you're on this side, look to your neighbor next to you and say, hey, do you need this chance? Look to your neighbor. This is called evangelism. Look to the person next to you. Say, do you need this chance? They say, no, I'm good. That's good. But if they say yes, you walk with them. Is that good?
Amen.
Let's do it. You look to your neighbor next to you and say, do you need this chance? Do you need this chance to give me? If you do, you come with him. And we're going to sing this song. You got that one, pass me not.
Yeah.
Do that one for me. Because okay. Jesus is going to pass up somebody this morning.
All right. No problem.
Pass me not, oh gentle Savior.
This is your chance right here.
Oh, him. My heart.
This is your chance. Ask your neighbor.
Cry.
Ask your neighbor. If they need you, come. You walk with. Come on.
Don't hurt us out. Holy.
What about this out here?
Oh, do not pass me.
How about this out right here? How about this?
Calling you say.
Any prayer requests?
Savior.
Any baptism? Any prayer requests? Anybody need to ask for forgiveness? How about this aisle right here? Anybody?
Why don't you hear my humble cry?
How about this? How about over here? I'm over here for you. What about you? Is it you?
Lord,
don't let him pass you by this morning. He's calling you. Savior, God bless you.
Do not pass me by. We'll call it.
Sing with him, all right? Sing with him now.
Yeah. Oh,
why don't you, Lord?
Why don't you hear my humble cry? Lord, why?
God bless you as you come.
Calling you say,
ain't too late. too late. They're still coming. That's good. That's good. Come, it's not too late to come. Come on. Come on to it. Don't put it off.
What else? Pass me.